talked about Wednesday night, the fact of there is a dispensation, how God is dealing with man today, and there's such a difference in what was given to the Apostle Paul after he was saved compared to how things were in times past with Israel. But today, all over America, there's people in churches that are telling you that you're spiritual Israel. And they even put the word spiritual in there so it'll sound right, but there's nowhere in the Word that has the two words together that say spiritual Israel. Just like there's nowhere in the Word that tells you to ask Jesus into your heart to be saved. It's just not there. But yet we grow up all our lives hearing that we're Israel, like we're something special of a generation that was in times past, that's also going to be in times of refreshing, that we're not going to be there. Israel's promises are going to come true, but they're not going to come true to you. And if you read the Word wrong, then you will be deceived as many people are today, thinking that there are things you have to do as Israel in order to continue your salvation, like it's something you do. In the same manner, the way that we get caught up in a special prayer, or they call it a sinner's prayer, and all these things that are made up that aren't even in the Word, but because we have found them to sound spiritual, because they come from seminaries, it comes from professors who profess things that are wrong, the whole world's confused when it comes to salvation. Now, why would Satan, why would Lucifer at all have to brainwash you or have to demon possess you, as people say today, when he can just use the Word to do it? In the same way that God deals with man in the dispensation by the wisdom and knowledge we get, is the very same way that Satan today uses to confuse you. Does it make sense? If you go in times past when Christ walked the earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll notice there were times Christ would touch people and they would be healed. The Holy Spirit would come upon people. And there were demon possessions. There were things that went on like that that Christ would heal. Why? Because Satan is the great counterfeiter. Christ uses the Word to save people today. Satan uses the Word to deceive people today. Christ, when He walked the earth, would touch and would heal people. It was a kingdom of the gospel that's going to be set up. Satan would touch, and he would confuse people, and he would demon possess people. He would use sorcery and things that Israel would look for, right? Because what did Israel always have to look for? Signs, wonders, and miracles. So Satan would use those things. Satan's not going to counterfeit something that Christ isn't using. So there's just so many different things through the Word. As you see the differences in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Old Testament that you will not see in Paul's epistles. They're just, the doctrine is different. The dispensation is different. And so with a dispensation, we talked about Wednesday night, there's also a ministration. When we come to the knowledge and we understand the Word, and we rightly divide the Word, and we know that we're saved by the fact of the faith of Christ and what He did, then we have a great responsibility to share with others that are confused in this world. We have a ministration. That's why Corinthians talks about that we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent the dispensation that was given to Paul, the mystery that had never been given before, that was never intended for Israel in any way. We're given that to share with others so they won't be deceived. But that's where, if we're not careful, we start having this understanding and we don't do anything about it. And so that's the difference in what you were talking about this morning. There are those that are saints, that are saved individuals, but they're not faithful brothers, right? So there is a difference in those. That was good this morning, what Timmy was talking about. So what I want to see over the next few weeks is to understand, when you open your Word, how you know exactly what it says, who it says it to, where it's at, where it's found, and so you can apply it and know whether it's specifically for your doctrine or not. Because that's where people get confused and don't understand about salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
We know this verse over and over and over again, but I just ask you to go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. The Apostle Paul here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which is our key verse, simply it's also up on deals with up on the board that we use so we can have an understanding of the Word. Because we know if you can rightly divide the Word, then you must be able to what? Wrongly divide the Word. Right? You can't just read it and it be for you if Paul says that you need to rightly divide it so you're not ashamed. And in 2 Timothy 2:15 he says, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I just mentioned about being an ambassador for Christ. And the only way that you can be an ambassador for Christ, the only way that you can have an understanding of this is if you rightly divide the word of truth. Because if you are an ambassador or a representative of the United States and you don't have a clue of what the United States stands on, which today is very hard to understand. Years ago it wasn't too hard when it was founded, right? But today it would be very hard to understand a representative from the United States because we don't know what anybody believes anymore. Right? It's kind of interesting how the Word of God is today with people that preach the Word because they preach just whatever they want. Right? And so it's the issue. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There's no reason for us to be ashamed if we study the Word and we rightly divide it. So when we share the truth, when we share that we're not Israel, that it's not by works of righteousness, that it's not a sinner's prayer, that it's not these things that bring you to Christ or that give you salvation, we're not ashamed because we can share the truth. And so there's more than just understanding the dispensation. It's important to know the ministration. It's important to know our marching orders. It's important to know what we are called to do. Because if you don't, what do churches do today? They send you to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which Mark's going to teach on, I believe we talked about the other day here coming soon, on the Great Commission, you're always told. Right? To go out into all the world preaching. And then all these preachers will tell you, this is our Jerusalem, and over here is our... And they give you all these beautiful pictures, almost like poetry. And it's not even speaking to you. Because Paul says what? We are ambassadors. That we are given the dispensation of the mystery of the grace of God to share that Christ did it all. By which we're saved in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 and 4. That He's died for your sins. That He was dead and buried and rose again. That you believe that unless you believed in vain. That it's accounted to your salvation. There's no marching orders of the Great Commission that's given to Paul that was given to the disciples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're totally different. So we need to know this by studying the Word. So it's clear, if you were to just go through the Bible and read it, it's amazing how often I would read the Bible or I would start somewhere, you know, I'd get real far and I'd do this, you know. But it's amazing how I never noticed some of the words because I didn't study it. But if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you look at the Old Testament, if you recognize the things of Hebrew, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, it always talks about what? Israel. 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 But now in Paul's letters, he speaks of there's neither Jew nor Greek. He speaks of all instead of, you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what? Many. We don't say these words that mean everything. But if you just understand the Word, then we won't be ashamed. Now, in saying that, I think all Scripture is inspired by God. All of it. Okay? I think it's all profitable. I think it's important that we know this. A lot of people say, well, if all you're concerned is with Paul's letters, then we don't need to read any other part of the Bible. Well, that's the problem with the deception. If you don't understand who this is talking to, then it's easily to be confused. So all the Bible is profitable. It's all important for us to know. As we read it, we need to read all the Bible. Because if you can't, then you can't tell which is your mail. Right? There's some mail that's to Israel.
There is some mail that speaks directly to you, and that's Paul's letters. There's some mail that just says occupant, right? You get it, it's for everybody. And you have to rightly divide this word to have that understanding. You have to study it.
2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. Just to back up what I believe, because I believe the Bible means exactly what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, the Apostle Paul says, all, that means everything, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The only way you're going to understand what speaks to you is if you understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and that it's profitable, that we don't just know Paul's letters, but we know it all, so when people speak, we have an understanding whether they're off or whether they're on. Right? And so he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. So we need to know it so we can make sure that what I'm saying is true. For what else? For correction. So that if I speak wrongly, you are decent enough to me to care enough about me to correct where I'm wrong. If you don't read your word, you can't do it. And I can move you any way I want to move you. Right? And so it's for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. To give us instruction for those things that are right. So that when we hear somebody else preach the word, we know the word good enough to know whether that person is sharing those things that are right or not. Correct? Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Word. This is how we're thoroughly furnished. Right? This is the only way, is that we know the Word. That's the only way that we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, what did Paul... Think about what Paul told Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 7. Now notice what Paul says. Now he doesn't say, consider what Christ, the disciples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what I say. What's he say? Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding what? In all things. He doesn't mention, consider what Jesus Christ said in the red letters, does he? So is this scripture wrong then? Can he give you understanding in all things if you read Paul's letters? Absolutely. If you don't read Paul's letters, can you have understanding in all things? Absolutely not. You take Paul's letters out, you will not have understanding in all things. How do we prove that? Well, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, had Christ been crucified? Did they have understanding in all things? They only knew about their own program, Israel's program, the kingdom of the gospel. They only knew about the good news of the kingdom that was coming. Christ even told them what he's going to do in Matthew, and what's it say? It was hid from them. They had no understanding. If you go to, just real quick, Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, verse 25. In Romans 16, verse 25, it says, now to him that is of power to what? To establish you according to Christ's gospel? The disciples' gospel? No. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to what? The revelation of the mystery. If it was a mystery, then these guys never knew it. Right? If they never knew it, you can't not read Paul's letters and have an understanding in all things. Why? Because it was given to Paul. It was given specifically to Paul. While we're here, let's just turn back to one chapter back to Romans chapter 15. And look at verse 8. I didn't mean to go this way, but we need to prove exactly what we say and why we say it. But in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, notice what Paul writes. Now, we just read that all Scripture is inspired by God, right? So don't say, well, that's what Paul wrote, but I think Paul was wrong, because it was inspired by God, right? And it's all profitable. So it's profitable for us to understand these things are different. So in 15 verse 8 it says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the Father." So the Apostle Paul has written this verse for us to have an understanding that when Christ walked the earth, that it was to confirm the promises that were made unto the fathers and to the Old Testament. Because God is not a liar. And Christ had to come to earth, and He had to fulfill these promises, and the rest of the promises are going to be fulfilled for Israel here. That's why I get tickled. People think Hebrews is for us, but it's titled Hebrews. Doesn't make any sense. It's to Hebrew people. Right? And so, therefore, when Christ was on the earth, He was sent to the circumcision, not to the Gentiles, because there was a mystery program that had not been unfolded that was going to be given to Paul when Paul was saved, to all the world. Not to many, but to all when Paul got it. But until then, look what Paul says. "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Verse 16. Look what Paul says about himself. "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God." No kingdom there. Ministering what? The good news of God. Well, what was the good news of God? The good news of God is the fact that He sent His Son here to die for you, so you weren't put under the law, under any works, and that by trusting in what Christ did, you have salvation. No prayer to pray, just to understand the fact that He has forgiven you for all sins. That forgiveness is not the issue anymore. That you don't need to be water baptized. That you don't need to have to partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Or every Sabbath. We'd need to do it on Saturday if we want to follow the law, by the way. That stuff is, it was nailed to the cross. The handwriting of ordinances was nailed to the cross. So the fact that you trust in what Christ did and that alone for your salvation. And it was given to Paul. That's why they didn't have this understanding. That's why it's all profitable for us to know this. And that's why the only way you'll get all the knowledge is to understand Paul's letters, because that's your doctrine for this dispensation today. This cannot be your doctrine if there was a mystery that was never given to them. Right? Cannot happen. So to understand, when preachers stand behind a pulpit and open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or they open up the Old Testament, there's some great Scripture there. There's some universal Scripture there. It is true that God created the world, right? That's universal. That's the occupant. But when it speaks to Israel, for Israel, and you've got men that stand behind the pulpit and tell you, now that we know this, this is what you better do, that's deception. That's a lie. The issue is your marching orders as an ambassador, as a representative for Christ, is to know Paul's letters, but also to know these so that you know whether you're being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Go to Ephesians. And I'll show you why it's important that you better know your Scriptures and understand. Because just as there are those that want you to know the truth, there are many that want the power and want you to believe what they believe so they can have more power. And the truth is not the issue. It's the issue of whether they can move you to be in their club or get you to join their fraternity. Because that's what today in your churches, at all the churches that preach untruth, that's a fraternity. That's a club, is all it is. There's people today that are going to be baptized in water and tell you this is how you're faithful. I mean, I did it. I played the game. And I was deceived. You might as well admit it if it's true. In Ephesians chapter 4, look what the Apostle Paul says in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's the best way for a guy to not be sure that he's right or not? That he feels that way? You know, I feel like this is right. What does he do? He builds a team. Right? And if he can get everybody else to feel that way, he bases truth on how he feels. Does that not sound like the world today? Well, I just feel this way. That doesn't make it true. The basis of the issue is you either believe that all the Word is inspired by God and that it's truth, or you go by your feelings that'll send you straight to hell. Now, you may get a big club around you. You may have a lot of followers. You may become very popular. But let me tell you what, it's nothing but a power struggle, and it hides what the cross of Christ did. If they can get you to say, I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this, what becomes unimportant? What Christ did. And that's Paul's goal, is for you to rightly divide the word of truth so that you're not tossed to and fro as a child. What happens to a child when he does something wrong and he just doesn't know? He's usually... I can remember when Grant was younger, man, he hated to let anybody down. He just did. That's just how he was. And man, if he let you down just because he didn't know, he would still come back and he'd apologize and he would still be ashamed. You ever just not know something, but you knew what you did was wrong, and it just makes you feel ashamed because you just didn't know and you should have known? You ever feel that way? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15 is very clear to study. Show thyself approved. A workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Would it not be awful to be a saint, to be saved, and to ignore the rest of the truth? And to know that you had every opportunity to share the truth with people that were lost. You knew, but you just didn't care enough. Well, that's why Paul says to know his letters, so that you're not tossed to and fro. And so that others aren't tossed to and fro. So we know 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Romans 1:16 clearly talks about Paul's gospel. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, if the gospel of Christ is the power unto salvation, then don't you think it would be important to know which gospel that is? I mean, don't you think it should be important to us? If Paul says in Romans, that the gospel of Christ is the power unto salvation, I think it should be important to know which gospel that is. Right? Because there's more than one gospel. And a lot of people today would say, you know, what do you mean, which gospel? Well, there's more than one gospel. There's the good news of the kingdom. There's the gospel of the grace of God. Are the main two that we focus on. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the gospel of the kingdom. That it was the gospel that Jesus Christ Himself preached, right? A few scriptures real quick. If you want to turn, go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I love this. We didn't sing. I've still got an hour and a half. We sing for about an hour usually, don't we? I'm kidding. Y'all are thinking, man, we get to eat lunch early. Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 23. We spoke on this the other day, but I just want to touch on it real quick because I want you to see that there's more than one gospel. In Matthew chapter 4:23, look at verse 23. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Well, why wouldn't he just say the gospel if there's only one gospel? Because this was the good news of the kingdom. Okay? It says, "And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Go to chapter 9. Look at verse 35. In chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues." Whose synagogues? No Gentile went to a synagogue. All the Jews went to synagogues. It says, "Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Go one chapter over, we talked on this. Matthew 10, verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, do you believe Christ came to save the Gentile when he's walking the earth? All Israel had to be saved first. He says, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go into Samaria. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. By the way, that ain't you. When you hear Psalms, 23rd Psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not..." David was a Jew. Okay? It's not to you. Okay? It says, "Into any city of the Samaritans hear ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Christ was coming to set the kingdom up. That the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse 6 and look what John the Baptist says. We're just looking at the kingdom doctrine right now. What the kingdom doctrine consisted of compared to the doctrine that Paul was given. The kingdom doctrine says in verse 6, "And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." So we see that John goes out here preaching this gospel of the kingdom, baptizing them who are confessing their sins. That's what's going on in Matthew chapter 3. So through this chapter, if you continue to read, he is asking them to repent from the thought that they are part of a kingdom by just being part of Abraham's seed. John says, who told you to come and flee from this wrath to come? Well, what did they do? They thought, well, just because they're part of Abraham. So John says, you need to repent. You need to change your way of thinking. You can't just be born from Abraham and think that you can flee the wrath. So John's not preaching about the wrath. He's telling those that are away from God that they need to repent, that they need to be baptized by water, they need to confess their sins. You'll never read this in any of Paul's letters, will you? Not one time. But that's what John's doing here. Okay? So we see that John goes out here preaching this. Go to Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter 1 and look at verse 9. The issue in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a kingdom gospel. In Mark 1, verse 9, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan." Well, what was that for? That was to fulfill the promises made unto the fathers. What did we read in Romans chapter 15 earlier in verse 8? That Jesus came to fulfill the promises unto the fathers. That he came to the circumcision. That took place. Look at Luke. Go to Luke chapter 3. It's one book over. In Luke 3 verse 7. says, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So we see the issue is there's this kingdom gospel that people need to change their minds. The fact that they couldn't just be born of Abraham and be saved. Okay? That the fact was that they just weren't there to just get the promises, but they had to meet certain conditions. What did they have to do? They had to be baptized with water. They had to confess their sins. There were things that ultimately this doctrine had to do that you're not a part of, but what do we do all through life? Hey, I'm getting baptized. Hey, I did this. Hey, and all through our life, we go through this stream of thinking what we must do. The sad thing is, there's many out today that believe that's why they're saved. And if they believe you have to do something, and we preach that Christ did it by grace, are you saved? That not of yourselves, but as the gift of God, not of works. Well, what do you consider baptism by water? That's works. What do you consider saying a sinner's prayer? So you can say, how do you know you're saved? Well, one day I did this and I did this. No. The issue is Christ died for your sins. You count on what He did for your salvation. Israel did all these works. Were they saved? Absolutely not. You know those that died in their faith that were Israel? They're not saved yet. They died in their faith and they'll be resurrected and then they'll be saved at the times of refreshing. Those that did not endure to the end, and you remember that growing up? You better endure. You would go under a good youth pastor, he'd make you feel so guilty. You'd go home thinking, I'm going to live right from now on. I did it every day. I'm starting over right now. Did y'all ever do that? You work and you work and you work. You can't do it. It's proof. Israel failed so you could be saved, trusting in the faith of Christ. But today, all over America, you got people standing behind the pulpit telling you, giving you this list of what you better do. And it shadows the cross every time. Why? Because go on Facebook today. You'll hear somebody talking about, pray that the kingdom is coming. Let me tell you something. When the kingdom comes, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in heavenly places. That kingdom is not for me. My promises are made in heaven. And it was a doctrine that was given to the Apostle Paul because of what Christ did. Well, how can Israel do it later? Because he's going to do what? He says he's going to hide the word in their hearts. So in the same manner that the Word saves us, the Word also saves them. But how God deals with man is different. Right? That's pretty cool, isn't it? That He can take one Word, but many Gospels, and save all. And that's an awesome, awesome God. The saddest thing of all is, though, is to think that you can sit under a preacher that preaches Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that he can lead you to Christ. Because he can't. He can't. If it was a mystery that was hidden, that was never given to them, and they had no understanding, why do they use that? They use it so they can move you and tell you what you need to do. And when they get home, they say, man, we had 20 people at the altar. It's a power play. And what's sad is a lot of them are deceived themselves. Because they've gone through the motions, they've gone to the schools, they've been under all that, and they never look at dividing the Word rightly. In fact, they think it's all one gospel. And so therefore, why does Satan have to do anything else but to trust in the people who call themselves preachers today to lead others unto a wrong doctrine? So therefore, you have a world that most are going to hell. That's sad. When the simple truth is the fact that just trusting in what Christ did at the cross and counting on that for your salvation is enough. I don't know about you. I would much rather trust in what Christ did than to think that I could do it. In closing, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll finish the rest of this next week. Well, no, we won't. It'll take about 3 weeks. We're going to see the differences in a lot of this stuff. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now remember what John the Baptist said. Repent, be baptized. What did Peter say? All of Israel needs to repent and be baptized. Why? They need to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And they did. That's why they crucified Him. But what does Paul say? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preached." In that, remember what we read in Romans chapter 16? My gospel? This is Paul talking. He says, "The gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also," what? "Ye are saved." That you say the sinner's prayer, you're baptized by water, you follow the Lord's Supper, and you follow the Ten Commandments. He never mentions any of these. So either he's a liar, and this word is a waste of our time, or this is by which we're saved. Because who was given the dispensation last? Paul was. Right? And he was given the dispensation after Christ had been resurrected, right? The others were not. And he says, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Unless you just never believed to begin with. You didn't count on it at all. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." There's the gospel that Paul preached unto you. In closing, one more verse. Why I think it's Paul's? Because if it ain't, we're wasting our time. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look what Paul says in verse 16. First Timothy 1:16. "Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. For a pattern," that means the way to go, okay? "For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life." Is there more than one way to go to heaven? Absolutely not. Well, Paul says that in me first, unto all, for everlasting life. Are you going to trust in what was given before Paul? Or are you going to trust in what was given after Israel to Paul? I'm going with Paul because it's the doctrine that's right. And you can prove it by study. If you don't study, you'll be tossed to and fro every wind of doctrine. This morning, if you recognize that, hey, you know what? I've been trying to do it and do it and do it and do it and do it. You don't have to. Just trust in what Christ did at the cross. Claim that for your salvation.